Eric, it's great to talk to you. And first and foremost, before we get to the Philadelphia Montreal game on the ice, what's the latest on Claude Julien? And again, we send our well wishes to him and his family right now. Difficult times.
Yeah, I mean, the latest is clear that he had a cardiac event that it was dealt with a procedure to, you know, implant a stent, and he's back home in Montreal. And by all accounts, from, you know, the acting head coach Kirk Muller and from Marc Bergevin yesterday, the news is relatively positive that he'll make a full recovery, that he's feeling good. Muller said today that he's in high spirits, that he was well enough to quickly shift the conversation to the task at hand, which is game two of this series between the Canadiens and Flyers. And Muller said, you know, Julien will most likely be watching, and he wouldn't be surprised to get a text or a phone call from him between periods. So I think, you know, I just want to say I've been in this game for 13 years covering it. I've watched it my whole life, and I've met everyone there is to meet in the National Hockey League. And I can't think of many people, despite how many great ones there are in this game, that I have more respect for than Claude Julien, not only as a coach, but as a human being. He's a wonderful guy. He's well respected by everybody who deals with him, and he's been great to me. So I really just want to wish his family the best and him a speedy recovery, because he really is a great guy, and it was really shocking and somewhat horrifying to hear that news yesterday.
Yeah, that's a common sentiment around the hockey world, and obviously the rest of us pass along our well wishes as well. I'm glad to hear that he's recovering and doing well today. So looking at the Montreal Canadiens situation right now, Eric, I wonder if you can tell me why they're doing so well. I know they're down one in the series, but I have been a person who has, bet aggressively on the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they gave me a scare in game one against the Flyers. Have I misread this team? Are they better than I thought they were? Or are things just going particularly well for them in the early going in playoffs here?
Okay, I'm going to try and unpack this kind of concisely. Yep. But you know, a lot of people looked at our predictions, and maybe just mine, and it, you know, the Canadiens losing to the Penguins in four was what I suggested would happen, but every radio hit, every television hit where I was asked about it, what I said was you have to figure the Canadiens are good enough to win one game, and if it's game one in the series, watch out. And that's what happened against Pittsburgh. They won game one. They were able to not only prove to everybody else that they're a little bit better than what they thought, they proved to themselves that they could do it. And that is such an essential ingredient, I would say at this time of year, but generally we don't play at this time of year, but at playoff time. And, you know, that sense of belief grew, obviously, through that Pittsburgh series. The other elements that I discussed in the lead-up to that series and frequently in terms of being asked about what the edge the Canadiens might have is they have speed and they have structure. They're a team that, and I believe in this format, structure is so essential, that the teams that were fastest to find it and stick to that identity are the teams most likely to succeed. And I think you saw that with the Canadiens in round one, and you saw it in game one of the series against what I believe is probably the best team in the East, or at least the deepest and most balanced team in the East in Philadelphia. The Canadiens showed that they can hang with them. Now let's see if they could score with them.
Again, very well coached. And we're with Eric Engels of Sportsnet getting set for game two between Philadelphia and Montreal. It's Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne. What's the pulse of Habs Nation right now? Because as you know, I was born in Montreal, didn't grow up a Habs fan, but I mean, I got a lot of family there. They were torn. They wanted Alexis Lafreniere. They wanted a chance at Lafreniere. But then you do this playoff push where the team starts to be successful. Where are they at?
You know, I can't speak for them. They're a diverse group. A number of them likely would have been more enticed by the possibility of drafting first overall, at least getting the ninth pick, which was the most likely scenario, close to a 90% chance. So, but I'm sure there's many of them that see it this way, at least how I see it, which is that Alexis Lafreniere is one player and one young, exceptionally talented player. And you know, Nick Suzuki and Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Cale Fleury and Ryan Poehling and Victor Mete, and, you know, go down the list of this very young Canadiens team. There's a lot of young players here that are benefiting from this situation that help propel this Canadiens reset along in a faster, more accelerated route. So, you know, it's hard to look at the situation and not see the positive in it. And especially also the other effect is that guys like Carey Price and Shea Weber, who turned 35 today, and Carey Price turns 33 on Sunday, and Jeff Petrie, who's, you know, a year away from being a free agent, and Brendan Gallagher and Philip Deneau, these guys are seeing what's around them right now and maybe starting to feel as though their window, or I should say their opportunity to win, is a little closer ahead in front of them than they would have anticipated beforehand. And, you know, that's all net positive. Yes, they miss out on what the opportunity was at the draft lottery, but, you know, if they don't get through the series, they'll likely draft 16th. And if they do get through it, I mean, what are you going to tear down about that situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's there's a lot to like. And one of those things, when you're talking about you know, the veterans seeing what they have coming along, stands out to me is Nick Suzuki. And I'm sure you're tired of talking about him, but I just can't get over how intelligent a player this guy is. He's always in the right spots, and he has the hands to make the plays when he gets somewhere in tight. I see a lot of good things for him, and I'm wondering if you're surprised how quickly he's developed. Also, just how quickly or how far he's come from when he first joined the Canadiens not that long ago.
You know what, Justin? I see all the same things that you do, and players that I like the most in this league and have always kind of coveted are the ones that think the game on another level. And I think of guys like Joe Sakic, who was the master of, you know, speeding up at the right time and slowing down at the right time. I think of guys like that when I think of Suzuki, and I don't want to thrust that kind of pressure on him. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Joe Sakic. I'm saying that's the quality of his game that I admire the most. But here's another one that maybe you don't see on the ice that I've come to know in getting to know Nick a little bit. There is a quiet confidence bordering on cockiness. And I think that's something that you definitely covet in a player that's expected to be a star player in the National Hockey League. And I could see it in him. I could see that he really believes and knows how good he actually is. And that's huge for a player his age. I mean, he just turned 21 last week, and this is his rookie season. The sky is the limit for this player. I think most people assumed when he came to Montreal in the deal for Pacioretty, along with Tatar and a pick that ended up being another really good young player, Matthias Norlander, who I think we'll see in Montreal sometime soon. You know, the sentiment was that he'd be a good player. I think what we're seeing right now is a star emerging. He's going to be a star player, if not an all-star player in this league. And I wouldn't put it past him from inevitably joining the pantheon of players that have those reputations, like Sean Couturier, who's playing against right now, or Ryan O'Reilly. Claude Julien compared him to David Krejci. I actually love that comparison, mostly because I like to compare right-handed players with right-handed players and left-handed players with left-handed players. And you could see that the smarts and the skills on Suzuki are very similar to kind of the way Krejci processes the game and plays it. So I like that comparison too. One way or another, no matter what you think he looks like or who you think he looks like, he's going to be a really good player for this team.
Yeah, pretty good company at that with Eric Engels as we get set for game two between Montreal and Philadelphia, 3 p.m. Eastern time here from Scotiabank Arena. I got to ask you about Max Domi. It's been a turbulent season for Domi at points and times here in the postseason. 0 points in five games, RFA following this season. What do you think happens with this marriage?
Well, I had about 500 words dedicated to Max Domi yesterday that got thrown in the garbage with all the news that happened. And I suspect that it will be a theme today, especially if the Canadians, you know, play this game at 3 p.m. And I do expect that we're going to see him in a different part of the lineup today. And I understand the value and what Claude Julien was trying to do. And there was no arguing with it as they got through Pittsburgh. He wanted a four-line team. He wanted experience on each one of his four lines. He wanted talent on each one of his four lines, and also to be able to trust his players in any situation. I think when you look at a fourth line, and Claude will probably say the same, that you're hoping mostly that they don't get scored on. But if that's all you're hoping for from Max Domi, a guy who scored 45 goals over the last 2 years, 28 last year, 17 this year, and you know, that's a waste, in my opinion. So, you know, it didn't hurt them through the first series. It hurt them in the first game of this series against the Flyers, where they had an opportunity to score several goals, except those opportunities came on the sticks of players that are, don't typically score them. And if you're going to use Max Domi more than you used Jesperi Kotkaniemi, which was the case last game, you may as well move him up the lineup and ensure that he's on the ice with the players who can take advantage of his creativity, but also get him into the rhythm of play. He's averaging 14 minutes a game. He typically averages 17 and a half. And, you know, that's the immediate stuff. The future stuff, you know, Nick, is something that we're going to have to discuss as we go along, because the commitment to Max Domi doesn't seem enormous while he's in a contract year and still, you know, a year or two away from unrestricted free agency. They have a major decision to make here, and whether or not they commit to him at center, or they commit to him in the wing, or they decide to trade him, that the time for that discussion is going to come, but it's also going to be dictated by what we see moving forward. So let's see what he does in an elevated role, because I expect he's going to have one as early as this afternoon.
Well, you're going to have to excuse for there being such a theme to these questions here, but I think it's because the sense of this Canadiens team is this is probably not a team that's going to win the Stanley Cup, but a team that is rather looking at something bigger picture in the years to come here. And so I got to ask about Kotkaniemi and his year, you know, his sort of return to the Canadiens and this return to play, where he's at and how the Canadiens feel about his progress.
I think they feel good about it, and certainly much better than they did, you know, in February when they sent him down to the American Hockey League. And he went down there with a great attitude. He scored 13 points in 12 games. He started to rediscover his joy for the game, which had been zapped away by, you know, for the first time in his life, not really having the confidence of a coach. And it's such a learning process. You know, Justin, you're a former player. You could speak to this. There's a lot of ups and downs, no matter how good of a player you are. And you could talk about what the development was for Kotkaniemi this year. I think the biggest development for him was what he went through, that sobering kind of sophomore season slump, whatever you want to call it. The injuries didn't help. He suffered a lot of them. But that sobering reality of how hard he actually needs to work in order to exact his skill and his talent and bring it to the NHL level, you know, you think you know at that age, but you don't know until you get a bit of experience and you get slapped into reality. And I just think what you're seeing from him right now is you see a guy that took that pause very seriously as an opportunity to come back and prove a lot of people wrong, but prove to himself that he can be not only an effective player at this level, but a difference maker. He's been a difference maker so far through these playoffs, and he'll have to continue to work extremely hard to maintain his role. But you see, I think the Canadians have to be thrilled about the multifacets of his game, not only his intelligence in moving the puck around and his successful zone exits and zone entries and neutral zone play, but his commitment to the defensive details and his commitment to doing other things other than just trying to produce offense, whether it's leading the Canadians in hits among their forwards. He's doing the job the right way, and that's a big development for him.
Eric, I love savagery, so we'll wrap up with the Go Habs Go billboard. Do you know how that came to be?
I know that every team had an opportunity to do that, to create a bit of flavor in this town that doesn't belong to them. I think there was a gritty billboard out there somewhere, too. So it's cool. Believe it or not, much closer to these games than I am those billboards. Being in attendance for them has been insane so far. It's really been peculiar to start with, but you know, once you step away from that a little bit and just focus in on the game, and like, I don't know what Tuukka Rask is saying, but maybe he should watch some of the other games that have gone on so far. The game one between Philadelphia and Montreal was an exceptional playoff game. I mean, it was just an awesome hockey game from a fan standpoint. The it was carnage. Like, it was really chaos. It was hard-hitting, hard-nosed, fun play, all the things we love about the playoffs. And I'm loving these games. I like the billboards, but I'm loving the games and really enjoying covering them.